Get Puck.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Dave, Matt, and Vito here with you. And hockey season, I guess, for the Montreal Canadiens has unofficially started, sort of.
Oh, rookie camp is there. It started.
Yeah. Well, so the golf tournament marks the unofficial start of hockey season. And the rookie camp, I believe, has actually started today at the time of this recording. So we're here, baby. We made it. Long summer, lots of off time. Couple big things happened, but for the most part, everybody was out enjoying the sun. Put that away. Put the sunscreen away. Put the fisherman caps away. We're in wintertime. It's official. And to start off with, one of the big announcements that was made at this golf tournament was the newest assistant captain. And so they threw that A to Matheson. And so while this doesn't surprise a lot of people, and I think realistically, when you look at Matheson and what he brought last year, and of course, being bilingual was a massive factor, I have to figure, but not the sole factors a lot of people are out there suggesting. I think this guy has a very, very well-spoken manner for the couple of times I've heard him speak. He's good with media. He's seemingly really good in the room. So I'm not completely opposed to this pick at all. I am curious to know your thoughts, boys. I mean, obviously, Savard now lost his A. And I think Anderson was kind of rotating in there, too, so he didn't get the A. And, of course, Caulfield. A lot of people are clamoring, why didn't Caulfield get it? Signed that big, long contract. Everybody loves him. He's a spark plug. How did he not get it? So start with you, Vito. Tell me what you think. Is it a good pick, bad pick? Does it matter?
So on a previous episode, I had suggested that Caulfield should be the guy because he got a long-term contract. He's a kid. You know he's there for a long time. And I have this thing about keeping players for a long time and giving them the letter, especially if they deserve it. But in hindsight, when I think about it, Matheson is actually a pretty good pick. He's a local guy who has pretty much embraced being a Montreal Canadian. And he has stated multiple times that it's always been a dream for him to be a Montreal Canadian. He's still got another 3 years to go. So that 3 years is a long time in the hockey world. I mean, sure, at any point, the player could be traded, as we know, hockey is a business, but I think he's going to actually fulfill the 3 years of his contract. And at the same time, we saw what happened with Eddie, right? Eddie was a player that was given the A. He didn't stay a long time with the Montreal Canadiens per se, and they moved him. So if at any point they have to move Matheson, they will if it makes the team better. But I think, like I said, he's embraced being a Montreal Canadian, and he talks about it. He talks to the media. The fact that he's bilingual, sure, probably helps and probably appeases a certain contingent of the fan base. But I think it's actually a good move. And they're already looking up to him. And from what we're seeing, he's going to be the top pairing guy, at least for the upcoming season. And maybe the season after until the other defensemen develop. And at that point, he's going to be really a veteran who's going to be able to mentor some of the young kids that are coming up. So it seems like it's the logical decision, and it seems like it's going to work out well. I am a little surprised that maybe Andy wasn't considered, and it makes me question and wonder if they still see Anderson as part of their long-term plan.
Quickly, you brought something up. I just want to make a clarification because I'm pretty confident it's Edmondson's A that was vacated when he got traded. Like, he was the official other alternate captain, and so Matheson takes that A, but Savard and Andy had an A on their jersey last year rotating around. I don't know if that was a third A that was rotating that they're not going to do this year, or if it was because Gallagher got hurt for a while and they filled in his spot. Like, I don't have that exact.
I don't think they're going to give a third A,
but I don't think
I think they were rotating just because Eddie was gone, and you know, these are the guys who they've identified as their vets, as their leaders that they can rotate with. But I think this is it. Because if they were going to give a third A, similar to when Subban, Markov, Pacioretty, and they were all there, and Plekanec, you saw that at the golf tournament. Those were your captains and alternate captains. They would have announced that if there was going to be a third A. In this case, is it.
So you're cool with it, basically.
I'm cool with it. Was I surprised? Not overly, but I guess you could say I was surprised that Andy didn't get it, or that Caulfield didn't get it. But to say that I'm surprised that Matheson got it, I'm not surprised.
I'm less surprised about Andy, more surprised Caulfield. But if anything, I think, like I said, I don't think it's a bad fit either. Dave, what do you say about this very important subject?
I'm a big believer that the cap, like even captaincy, is overrated. Now, if we start talking about assistant captains, assistant captains, they're PR moves. Okay, they don't matter really at the end of the day. Okay, they don't have as much stock. I mean, I played hockey for 15 years. Okay, I can't tell you who. I could probably tell you one captain, two captain, assistant captain. Forget about it. I don't remember that. I'm sure most people don't either. They don't factor in, like, these guys are professional athletes. They're big boys. They're adults. They won't start respecting someone more because he has an A on his jersey. You know what I mean? They're teammates. They're boys. It's a PR move. Talk to the media more. They'll fill in. And Mike Matheson is a genius role. He's a hometown boy. Great story when he was with Florida. Now he's with Montreal. So I think he's a perfect fit. West Island boy. Good connection there. I think it's perfect. It's a perfect choice for the Canadians. PR wise, I think on the team, like you talk about Caulfield and stuff like that, Caulfield focus on scoring goals and not have to worry about, you know, debating about the A and this and that and letters on your jersey. Like, who's the assistant captain of the Nashville Predators? Can you tell me? I don't know. You know, it doesn't really matter. So at the end of the day, that's my take on it. I think it's a good choice. I think what you want to do is you put a face of your franchise. Obviously, the captaincy is more important in terms of legacy, but assistant captains, I mean, how many players have worn the A throughout the 100-year history of the Canadiens? Can you even, like, there'll probably be some names that you surprised. No. Exactly. Yeah. So does it really matter? No. But
why do you always go back to the National Predators, Dave? As your example. It's always the National Predators as your example. Could you tell me what the A of the National Predators are?
Because it's a team. I don't know this for a fact, but that's probably the team I've watched the least in the NHL. And like when I'm watching games at night, like if I see a Nashville Predator game on, I'm not tuning in for the Nashville Predators. And I love Pekka. This is coming from, I love Pekka as a goaltender. I really thought he was great, but, and I'm gathering, and just from talking to people, that it's probably one of the organizations that people watch the least. They're on an odd time, right? They're not a West Coast team that plays, but sometimes they're on an eight. Like, they don't have primetime games as much. Like, it's just a team that.
I would say Arizona is that team that people don't watch.
Let alone because people do pay attention to Arizona to rip on them. You know what I mean? People rip on Arizona. They love talking about Arizona, and they love, like, Arizona is constantly talked about. I find, like,
they are in the news a lot. It's true.
They're constantly acquiring players to bury them. People are constantly saying, "Oh, who are the Coyotes going to trade this year?" They're constantly in a fire sale. So you're paying attention to their players a little bit more because, oh, maybe that could be a piece to add to the Canadiens or to whoever team you're following. Nashville Predators are kind of just like, especially now, kind of like stagnant. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, that's why I use the Nashville Predators.
It's perfectly fair. Yeah, he's got a little bit of pixelation and a little bit.
Yeah. We just want to apologize to those that are going to be watching.
We got the point.
He's having some camera issues, but we can hear you.
We got the point. Nashville thumbs down and assistant captain's thumbs down doesn't mean much.
But you know what? When it comes to Nashville, I probably could have guessed who's the alternate captain. It probably, you know, I would have been able to guess Arizona. I can't. I could come up with Clayton Keller and the names that I think it is, right? But like you got guys like in Winnipeg, like Adam Lowry, that are now the captain. So like things be changing. Mm-hmm.
The captain obviously is a lot more important. I mean, I do think at the end of the day, it is an important sort of, maybe not so much for the room, because you could have different leaders. Of course, the age-old funny thing about hockey, you can't have a letter on a goalie, which I always thought was ridiculous. And there's been a lot of goalies that you can go back and say were the leaders in their room, Price being one of them, just here in Montreal. You know, everybody knew he was at least a pseudo-captain in the room constantly throughout the most of his career, but you can't give them letters. So who you stick the letter on, to Dave's point, I think is very PR move-ish. I do think, though, that unlike last year, where officially all three guys who had the letters, I don't believe any of them could speak French. You definitely want at least one guy there with a letter on who's representing the team, who has the capability of at least answering questions. So Savard didn't technically have it last year, I don't think. He rotated it.
Yeah, he rotated, but you know, again, identified
but,
as.
But officially, I think officially last year, it was Gallagher, Edmondson, and Suzuki. And those guys can't speak French. So in this instance, you have a guy from here, like Dave was saying, a guy who can answer questions both in English and French, which I do believe is a pretty important aspect of the culture and dynamic of the team in this particular city. Whether you agree or not, it just is what it is. So fundamentally slapping on a guy who's got a little bit of term and who had a really good season last year and our hopes are will continue to have good seasons, it makes a lot of sense. I do want to circle around something that was brought up the other day. It's not something that typically on this podcast we dive into about like drama-related things, but it was ironic, I guess, in such a way that Dave brought up Nashville because PK Subban has been called out by Andrew Shaw for some reason or another on social media. I don't have all the information about this, but just to touch on it, I mean, maybe you guys know a bit more and you can enlighten me, but as far as I can tell, Shaw has beef with Subban being a selfish player, apparently, and being more and arrogant was a word that he threw out there and more concerned about himself than he was about the team. And apparently he's getting this information from former teammates of PK because I'm pretty sure the two of them never even played in Montreal together. So it's weird. I don't know the backstory as to why Shaw's calling out Subban like this. I don't know if you guys have more information, but if you do or not, like, how do you feel about what's going on with this whole Shaw PK thing? Is this complete nonsense? Is there reason behind it? Do you have some context to share?
Well, I'm sure Andrew Shaw has his reasons, and his reasons is he wants to get on the Spitting Chicklets podcast. He wants a little bit of fame. He wants to be popular, and he wants his minute in the sun. It's absolute nonsense from Andrew Shaw's perspective. It's ridiculous because I'm going to tell you what. I covered games. I was in the visitors' locker room that year that PK Subban came back for his first ever visit. I was doing the Habs visiting locker room all season long, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Only one player had teammates come halfway across the arena to come greet him, and that was PK Subban. I've never seen that before. Carey Price came all the way around, still in most of his equipment, by the way, and came to salute PK Subban. And there were other Canadiens players there. I don't remember them really which ones they were at the time, but they were. So the fact that his teammates did not like him, sorry. I covered some Andrew Shaw games at the Bell Center, I'm sure, when he came in with Chicago at the time. And I didn't see too many people lining up to come see him. And I'm sure he had some former teammates, you know, that played with him in Chicago or whatnot. So to say that is so stupid. It's such a stupid thing to post it on a Instagram, like, video of his, you know, honoring PK Subban or whatever it was. It's just a cry for attention from a guy who just, you know, a guy who says a homophobic slur in this day and age on the ice, on when you know the game is nationally televised, like that, you lose your character opinions. You know, I don't care about your opinion anymore. And to come in and throw shade at somebody and say something that's so blatantly wrong, you know, Carey Price was there at his freaking PK Subban's honoring ceremony. They did the triple low five. Like, I get there probably are some teammates that were bothered by PK Subban's exuberance and his flashiness. And obviously the Canadiens organization was bothered that he put the name up there at the Children's Hospital and it wasn't a Montreal Canadiens thing. I could get being angry at that, but to come out and straight out say, oh, he wasn't liked by his teammates hated him. I'm sure there's some truth to it. I'm sure there's a lot of PK Subban does not fit the boring hockey mold, right? The boring vanilla hockey mold. And anybody who steps out of that historically has been labeled as difficult and not a good teammate and whatnot, because hockey players are boring, vanilla people who don't like rocking the boat. And as soon as somebody does, they become a problem in the dressing room. And it's a sad attempt from Andrew Shaw. I mean, like, I've had the misfortune of going to the Children's Hospital quite often lately. And it's not the Andrew Shaw atrium there that I walk into every day. It's the PK Subban atrium. So before you attack someone's character, to me, it's a joke. It's a joke, Andrew Shaw. And it's literally just a guy begging, desperate for attention.
So the back, I pulled it up to just get a little bit more context in case anybody who's listening is hearing this for the absolute first time. It would seem that there was an Instagram post celebrating PK Subban's success. Yeah. And then Shaw jumped out of nowhere. I don't believe he was tagged. I don't believe this was any way, shape, or form him being associated to it. He just showed up and wrote, "You do know all his team, all his teammates hated him, right?" And then he follows up by saying, obviously answering somebody, saying, "Well, more than one reason I dislike him. He's a bad, arrogant person who only cares about himself." That's the words from Andrew Shaw. So, Dave, we very much heard your take. Vito, what do you think about all this? And I will agree, nonsense. I do think this is absolute nonsense. It has no reason to even continue being in the social media sphere. But go ahead.
Andrew Shaw is having a Sean Avery moment where it's just a massive brain cramp. Could it be that those people who, to Dave's point, that didn't like PK Subban, I mean, we've heard the rumors where there's some players that, you know, just didn't get along with PK and all that. But by no means, if you ask those people, you know, it was rumored that there was some issues between Brendan Gallagher and PK Subban in the past. But I'm sure if you ask Brendan Gallagher, is PK Subban a bad person? He'll probably answer no. He's not a bad person. Did they fit well? Were they best buddies that they would go out for a beer and all that stuff? If it wasn't for the sake of the team, probably not. You know, in life, no matter who you are, there's going to be people who just don't like you. Okay. And that might be the case with PK Subban. There are players that probably didn't like PK Subban's style, the fact that he focused on his brand, the fact that he was, you know, he brought this certain character, this certain persona to the game, this certain liveliness and enthusiasm that rub people the wrong way. It's very possible. I mean, there are some general managers and coaches who probably never come out straight out and say that they didn't like PK Subban, but as a hockey player, they probably would have preferred somebody that's a bit more vanilla, a bit more boring, a bit more like, this is what you're getting every day, not somebody that, you know, could go from 0 to 100 in a moment. But we don't know PK Subban personally. But to Dave's point, you've seen a lot of the good he has done in every city he has gone as a person. As a hockey player, are there defensemen out there that I would have preferred over PK Subban, even at PK's prime? Yeah, probably. But I'll tell you this. He seemingly made time for all of his fans. He did seem to do a lot of good around the city, whether it was Montreal, Nashville, New Jersey. He did what he had to do. And again, did he focus on his brand? Yeah, this guy was clearly working not only on PK Subban, the hockey player, and PK Subban at the time of that he was playing for each individual team, but he was also working on PK Subban after his NHL career. And for Andrew Shaw to just come out and you know, on something that he wasn't tagged on and just randomly rip PK Subban,
yeah,
is more telling about his character than it is about PK's. PK didn't, you know, arbitrarily come out and start ripping into Shaw. Actually, if I go back, I could be wrong on this. When Shaw retired, and you know, due to concussion issues and all that, PK probably was one of those people that wrote a comment saying, "Good luck, best of luck to you." You know, and there was
Okay, so you might have to pull that one up because I don't know if that happened. Because again, they never played together. So aside from just being like, "Hey, NHLer, congrats," I don't know if that happened.
I believe I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but that's happened because what. When it comes to Andrew Shaw, he made certain mistakes with the media and said certain things publicly that he's gone back on, he's retracted and admitted that he's made those mistakes and so on. But given his injury, the injuries he had, and with concussions and all that, there weren't any people that were wishing any ill will towards him when he retired. There was more congratulations than anything else. And when PK Subban is coming out and there's a post about his success, just do the same thing. Because now you got all this attention on you, and maybe that's the design. Maybe that's what he wanted. He wanted that kind of attention on himself to get it, like David said, his moment in the sun. And that's what he's trying to do to be still relevant.
There has to be more to this story because it doesn't make any sense that somebody who never played with another person as a teammate just shows up in a comments on an Instagram post to say, "Oh, you know, this guy sucks," right? There's got to be some history there. There's got to be backstory. And if there isn't, to your point, Vito, It's a far more telling look on Shaw's character than anything else, because it doesn't really make too much sense if you just look at it from a high level perspective. These are just two guys. They both happen to have played on both for the same organization, not at the same time even. And everybody knows PK is quite celebrated in Montreal for the most part. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like him, but I think we can easily say the majority of people remember PK quite fondly here, especially for everything that he's done outside of the rink, to Dave's point, with the Children's Hospital. It's I don't want to go too much further into it because I don't know ultimately what the benefit here is. I think we all agree it's a really dumb thing he did. We don't understand why. If it is a selfish sort of, I want to get on Spitting Chiclets or I just want to throw my name out there, then that's pretty pathetic. Matt. And if it's something else where I read one thing, which, you know, could be the case, if he's having a moment because of CTE, then it's upsetting. And hopefully somebody can cash this and do maybe something to help him out because of all the concussions he suffered. If that's what this is. Or maybe he's just a shitty person. I don't know. I don't know the guy well enough. I just think it's dumb.
I'm sorry, but the CTE excuse, and it just so happens to be on PK Subban of all people. Like, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like, come on. It's stupid. Understand players have CTE. Like, probably tons of NHL players have CTE. You can't blame every stupid thing on it. Or maybe you can, who knows? But it's just, I mean, like, it's a very character. The three things that are knocks on Andrew Shaw's character for me are the homophobic slur, the, you know, whatever happened with Chicago and the Kyle Beach situation, and right here with PK Subban. And like, those three are embedded in hockey culture, right? Like, homophobia is associated with hockey culture, as is, you know, hating the flamboyant player that doesn't follow the boring mold of the Canadian, and, you know, the
racism.
Fine. I didn't want to say it. Okay. Cause I didn't want to throw it out there, but that's what it is. And, you know, to have those three incidents, wow, it matches so well. He didn't attack a random player, you know what I mean? He attacked PK Subban, and maybe it's jealousy. PK Subban finished his career and he walked into a nice gig, in the off season, once he was done being an analyst on TV. What did Andrew Shaw do? There you go.
Well, we'll put that one to bed. It was very odd to sort of wake up and read that little bit. I didn't quite understand where it came from. Again, we don't have the full picture. And
One last point on this. One last point.
Go for it.
If you're going to come out and say something like that and rip on a player, you got to give you more context. You know, like, if Andrew Shaw, he came out, he said all that, give more context. At least don't make it look like you're a complete fool. You know, or you're coming out of nowhere. Give more context, provide more context. Maybe you don't want to name names, but at least come out and say, what did some of the people say about him? Or where is this coming from? And then, you know, you don't have to give the full details, but just something that everybody could kind of get a bit of an understanding to why is this happening? Why was this said on a random Wednesday morning?
It's very obvious he doesn't like him. Now, the reason why he doesn't like him, pick your flavor, we don't know. And some of those things you might never know, because if it's deeply rooted and embedded in how and who he is, it's unfortunate that, but then you're never going to find out, and it's just going to always deflect. But again, wasn't tagged, came out of nowhere, jumped into comments just to bash the guy on a post that was simply about celebrating the success of PK's career. It doesn't make a lot of sense. From just even if you're the type of person that hates a particular type of person, to just come out and do that, because now everybody's going to look at you and be like, well, why are you doing this? To your point, right? So at the end of the day, it's unfortunate. I just look at this and say to myself, like, you know, I can't understand why somebody would just outright do that, unless, of course, they're suffering from something, which I come back to the CTE thing, because people with CTE do some really weird things that you can't quite understand. But to Dave's point, you can't mask everything behind it. Obviously, he suffered a lot of concussions, but perhaps this is just the kind of person he is, and it's unfortunate. And I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully this kind of just disappears into the wind and we don't hear much about Andrew Shaw after this, because unless if there's an apology or something that comes out next, we don't really want to hear what else he has to say. So putting that little chapter aside, and that was the past, let's look at the future, shall we? We have a laundry list of players that are out there for the rookie development camp. I'm going to throw some names at you boys, and we can go over the whole charts that Arpin Basu, and please go check him out on Twitter or X or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. If you want to see the actual breakdown of like the height and the weight and all that kind of jazz, if you're really into it, a lot of these players came in to the rookie camp this year much bigger, like significantly bigger. They grew and they put on muscle And so that's obviously a big talk today, but I'm more curious. I'm going to throw names at you. And if you feel like you want to give some context as to your answer, by all means. But ultimately, my question is, where do they wind up this year? Will they make it to the big show with the Habs? Will they go to Laval? Will they go to the ECHL in Trois-Rivières? Or are they going back to like Europe or juniors or whatever? So starting at the top of the list, because I believe it's alphabetical, Owen Beck, Dave, where is he? Where's he going?
I don't know. I could tell he's not making the Canadians.
Laval then, presumably.
Yeah, I guess Laval, presumably. Yeah, I guess that would be it. I couldn't tell you exactly where he's going to play, but I would presume he'll have a good showing at camp, and I don't think there's any chance he really makes this team. But I can see him playing Laval.
Okay, Vito.
First line center of the Laval Rocket.
Love that. Very good. All right. Jared Davidson. Don't you roll your eyes at Jared Davidson.
I'm not, actually.
I'm good. Yeah.
He's Laval bound.
He's Laval. Yeah.
I think there's only one, maybe two players that might end up being a Montreal Canadian to start.
All right. We'll get to them. Sean Farrell. Dave.
I guess he'll be with the Rocket as well. I mean, he's one of the guys I could see maybe making the team, barring some injuries, you know, coming in.
A lot bigger.
But, I'd probably start him in Laval.
Okay. I'm Laval too. I agree. Vito?
We have too many players in Montreal right now, so he's going to be Laval. First line, left winger in Laval.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Heinemann.
Montreal.
All right, finally. Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening as well. But I could also see him in Laval, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so much going on. But I want to take Vito's answer. I'll go Laval.
You'll go Laval? You don't want to say his answer? Okay, well, let's spin it around. So instead of going through the whole list, because all of you guys seem to, well, to Vito's point, it's probably only one or two. Did you look at the list? Do you know all the players that are there? Okay.
Yes.
Who has the best shot of making the Habs? The best shot, and on off up forward or defense, like who is it? And we go through. You got Riley Kidney there. You got Joshua Hua there. You got Florian Jacki. You got Meshack, Meshar. I'm just going through some bigger one names. Logan Mailloux. Reinbacher.
Okay, so here I'll just say it. Emil Heinemann's gonna make the team.
Okay.
Reinbacher has a chance to at least get the 10 games out of the way before they probably send them back. And the only other player that I can see that maybe starts in Laval but will get called up and play with Montreal is Logan Mailloux. There's been a lot of attention on that, you know, the whole getting approved, this, that. If he makes the team, he's gotten bigger. He's physically, he's at that NHL, he's at the NHL level physically. It's just, does his game transition to the NHL just yet? And that's why I think they're not going to rush him per se, but they're going to make him play some games in Laval, see how he adjusts to pro hockey. And if he's really doing well in Laval or somebody gets hurt in Montreal, they might call him up. And those are the three players. But I will add this, the next captain of the Laval Rocket is likely going to be William Trudeau.
Wow. All right.
Kind of came out of nowhere there, but okay. Very good.
We're going to be the assistant captain of the Laval Rocket.
Full circle, Dave. Eh? Full circle. The assistant captain. Linus Anderson.
I'll answer that. All right. Yeah, I agree with everything Vito said, really. Heinemann, probably the best chance, I would say. Logan Mailloux, I think, like, if
stop
if,
moving, Dave. Stop moving.
If it wasn't the situation, if he wasn't in the situation and had that cloud hanging around Logan Mailloux, I think it was a good would have been a good chance we saw him start the season with Montreal. But I think they're going to try to put a little bit of distance between this and the story and whatnot. And I think they're just going to send him to Laval. So I really think, like, I'm looking at this list now, I don't see anybody other than if the Habs really, really get injured, if there's a lot of injuries, if there's, you know, maybe some moves, I could see Sean Farrell and Heinemann, you know, perhaps making the team to start the season. But other than that, I don't think so.
Okay. I think that's fair to say. Both of you saying pretty much the same thing, which unfortunately I have to agree with. I think Heinemann has the best shot, although nothing would surprise me in essence if all of them don't make the team. Not that they have bad showings necessarily, but because of the logjam up front, I think there's just simply too much. And of course, there's still a little bit of time left. Maybe Kent Hughes somehow, some way is able to fire off a whole bunch of players and make a couple holes there, at which point you can have a couple guys ascend. But as it stands today, I think your lineup is pretty much done for. And you're gonna have a bunch of players still even have to go on waivers, going down to Laval. We have too many defensemen up front, and we got too many forwards. So
I think there's going to be some moves.
There has to be.
Like similar to what happened yesterday, Montreal Canadiens acquired Novak for future considerations. You're going to see some future.
Well, that was a weird one because they didn't acquire him yesterday. I think they already had signed him. Somehow they signed his rights, but he still somehow belonged to Ottawa.
They acquired his rights,
but they had already brought him in. Anyways, and what have you. So that's not a huge world beater of a story. The last little thing I did want to ask you though, and listen to the words, guys. I don't want your hot takes. Everybody's got a hot take. I want your scorched earth nuclear fallout take. I want the ultimate hot take, the one that is like just absolutely, you're probably the only person who thinks this. What is your scorched earth hot take for any player on the team or the whole team itself? It could be the Habs win the Stanley Cup. That would be pretty up there. It could be, I don't know, Caulfield scores 70 goals. It could be Caulfield scores 4 goals. You know what I mean? Like, these things also pretty wild. So what I want to know what yours is, and I'll tell you mine at the end. Start right, with either
first.
Of you.
I'll
go for that.
I don't want to be a negative, whatever the term is, but I'm going to say that the Canadians, I think Cole Caulfield will struggle. And I don't think he'll hit that 40-goal mark. Everyone's has him penned in for absolutely. I don't think that he'll I think he'll struggle. I think teams will focus a little bit more on him now that the Canadians will have a little bit more talent and be a little bit more dangerous. I think that he'll start getting shut down, and I don't think he'll put up the numbers that that the Habs fan base expect him to.
Okay.
That would be my scorched earth take.
Less than 20 goals?
Maybe around that 20 goal mark. You know, I could see him scoring a little bit more than 20, but 20 would be disappointing, right? A 20 goal season from Cole Caulfield is a disappointing season, right? So
It would be disappointing. I think when it comes to scorched earth hot takes, maybe you're teetering there, because obviously not hitting 40 would be disappointing, but if he's over 20, I guess that's just like not a great season, but it's not concerning. If he got like 5, that would be very concerning. It would be a bad season. Oh my god.
Nobody gets 5 goals unless you're Jean-Paul Wayne scoring 60 games. But like realistically, you're going to put up some goals. He's going to play the first line minutes, so he's going to get a bunch of opportunities. He's going to be on power play. He's going to score goals. I don't think he's going to take the next step. I think, and maybe that's not a scorching hot take, but it is in this market. Everybody has it.
I
don't think there's a single person who's not like this guy. I've heard talk he's going to win the market. He's going to score 50. He's going to let's calm down a little bit. Let's see him score 30 to begin with, and let's see how it goes from there on a competitive team. That's what I want to see.
Okay, there you go. Cole Caulfield will not achieve the 40-goal plateau, might not even hit the 30-goal plateau, according to Dave. That is the scorched earth hot take from Dave. Vito, what is yours? 25 goals for Cole Caulfield.
I'll give you two of them. And before I start, I'll say I completely disagree with Dave. But Kaden Gooley will be the highest pointing defenseman on the team.
Okay. With what? Okay.
52 points.
Okay. Yeah. Scorched earth. Yep.
Josh Anderson will finally break the 27 goal mark with 35 goals and will have a career year and hit about 57 points. Wow. This will be his career year.
Okay.
I've been wrong about these predictions before, but I won't.
The first one is a bomb. The first one was the big bomb, and then you followed it up with that little bomb. You fat boy, fat man, little boyed it with the two nukes right there. Okay. Very good. You listened and you gave scorched earth takes. Mine will be that Samuel Montembeau will be a top 6 goalie in the league at the end of this year.
That's a great hot take. I like it because I could see that happening. I could honestly see that happening with the way he plays, the way they're going to give up a lot of shots. Like he could put up the numbers and he could play. Like I could see that being a good. That's a good.
I think that one. I know a lot of people are on the trade Monty. Keep him as a backup. He's never going to be our true number one goalie. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with those takes. I'm simply saying if you want my scorecard take, that could be something that is in the cards to happen for Montembeau this year. I could potentially see that happening, as much as I can also see it not happening. But that's my scorecard hot take. And that is the takeaway question for everybody from this episode. Please let us know in the comments below. Be it on X/Twitter or on this video in the YouTube comments. What is your absolute scorched earth hot take that you have? It can be as insane as you want to make it. No one will hold you accountable if it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, you're all going to look like all-stars. So let us know in the comments what you guys think is your scorched earth hot take. And I think for that one, we're going to leave it there. Gents, you got something else you want to add there, Vito? You got something in your eye. Some glimmer of something you want to say.
I just want to buy Dave a new microphone and better Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we're gonna work out the technical kinks for the next time. All right, guys. Thanks very much. Thanks everybody for listening. If you haven't already, please consider liking and subscribing. That always helps us with the algorithms and all that kind of jazz. You know the whole deal. And so for Vito and Dave, I'm Matt, and this was
Get Pucked.